It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheim. At the end of this month, Pittsburgh Public Schools Superintendent Linda Lane is stepping down after more than 5 years at the helm. She first joined the Pittsburgh Public School District as deputy superintendent in 2007. 3 years later, she became the superintendent. She joins us now to talk about her tenure and the challenges facing public schools in the latest in our series of exit interviews. Linda Lane, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Many people in this city see the Pittsburgh Public Schools as a troubled school district. It was when you came in. It continues to be as you leave. Overall, how would you assess the state of the Pittsburgh Public Schools as you end your tenure as superintendent?
I would not argue that there remain significant challenges in our school district. There are many things that are going to be work for the future, but I also would say that there are also things that are definitely better. And so it's a more nuanced narrative than you might always hear.
How does Pittsburgh rate, as far as you're concerned, with other urban school districts?
One of the things that I think is amazing about not only our district and is our city. We sit in a city where there is such high public engagement in education and public education, high support, not only financial but political support for wanting to have a very successful urban school district. I think in this nation we're probably tops in that space. One of the things that I also think has been important, we've been on the cutting edge of some things that actually are more highly regarded outside of Pittsburgh than inside Pittsburgh. And as we are asked to participate in a number of national initiatives because of that, I think that we, the Pittsburghers, should take some pride in that.
What do you feel that you have been able to improve in the 5 years in which you've been in charge?
Well, I think there are several things that I don't say I have improved, but
that the numbers would indicate that you have improved.
A lot of people have worked really hard on several things. Certainly, one of the things that we've had a great emphasis on is working on academic achievement. And we know that, you know, our test scores are not where we want them to be. I wouldn't pretend that they are. But that is going to have to be continuing work. However, we do have some bright spots in there. We have had some low-performing schools that have outperformed in growth, not higher achievement, but higher growth, schools around the state, and we've recognized them. We have had an increase in our graduation rate over the 5 years, and that work has to go on. It's not anything yet to write home to mom about, but certainly it's headed the right direction. One of the things that I've been so excited about is our advanced placement class participation and pass rates on AP tests. And AP tests mean kids can get college credit if they take an advanced placement class and perform high enough on a national test. They can get AP credit for that. And so that's been a very positive thing. And in fact, one of our high schools was recognized as doing better than that than any of the other participating districts in a national study. Summer Dreamers, putting in summer learning for kids. And again, Wallace Foundation and our local foundations have supported that. Summer Dreamers has shown results for kids. They are doing better. We Promise is another one. We've done a ton of work with equity in our district, including having professional learning for staff, teachers, and leaders on what it means to work in an urban setting that is racially diverse. What about racism, institutional racism, and how do we combat that in the workplace? So having all of our staff understand that, we feel is extremely important, and take action and use a racial equity lens as we do our work. The We Promise program I mentioned was a reaction to the low participation rates in the Promise scholarship for African-American males. And We Promise was a way of interrupting that. So we have probably between 75, I think, and 100 men and others who are mentoring some of our young African-American boys who are in high school to help them be Promise Ready. And we've seen a significant increase there in the number of Promise Ready African-Americans that are able to take advantage of that Pittsburgh promise. So those are some of the things I know that I feel good about. One that we don't get much press on either is the arts. I know the narrative is, well, you know, they've cut the arts and we don't do arts in Pittsburgh, and that's totally not true. Just this spring at the Kelly Awards down at the Benedum, Kappa came away, I think, with 10. And then Dilworth Elementary won the award for Best Arts Integration in the county. And we also had our third-time Best Actress, Marnie Quick from Obama. So that's one example. The other one is we have an art show every spring, and it's downtown. And if you go down, you've got artwork from kids all over the city. Now we still have some art things going on for some of our high schools. I know I just got an invitation from one of our high schools yesterday to come to something they're doing.
Well, one of the things that has been notable about your tenure is that you have been able to add back some things that mm-hmm. were lost in the arts due to financial reasons. Talk about those.
I'm really excited about that. As everyone knows, we had some real financial challenges to deal with, and it was a painful period because we let go of some things we didn't want to. And I couldn't feel good about some of the things we had to do, but knew I had to do it. However, this year we've been able to put some things back, as you say, and the one that I know I personally am most excited about is instrumental music. We need to feed our bands, and to do that, we can't depend on parents being able to give their children private music lessons. So having kids have opportunities to have music class, music instruction on instruments at school is extremely important. So we're working on what is that going to look like next year, but having instrumental music and making sure we know where those instruments are and getting ready, I'm very excited about that one.
So when you say knowing where they are, they've been in the closet for a few years.
Right, and that was my appeal to the principals. Let's not spend the money on buying new instruments until we empty out every closet or in every school and find out what we have, you know, what needs to be fixed, what's too old to use and all that, and take an inventory. And that's been a real challenge, too, because it's a lot of schools, a lot of closets.
Yeah, I seem to remember even when I was at Fulton Elementary School over in the East End, that we had an eighth grade orchestra mm-hmm. that might have been a seventh and eighth grade
mm-hmm.
orchestra.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't participate, but a lot of kids did. Is the financial picture with the Pittsburgh Public Schools where it should be?
It's better for sure. We're in a place where we can put a few things back. We're not under the gun to make reductions. As I said, has been kind of the story of my tenure here in the district, is trying to get our finances to a healthier space, and we're definitely at a healthier space.
So you're satisfied that things are being run as efficiently as they can be?
I don't think you're ever there with efficiency. So that's an ongoing process because there are always things that you need to look at. And I know that one of the things I've so appreciated about our business finance office is they continue to do that. However, it's nice to be able to put some things in that are great for kids and give them the educational opportunities that many of them wouldn't have absent public school.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Linda Lane. She has been the superintendent of the Pittsburgh Public Schools for more than 5 years. She is departing at the end of this month. Why are some schools in the Pittsburgh Public School District doing better than others?
Yeah, that's always our question as well. And that's what many of our staff spend time learning from the schools that are really successful and supporting the schools that are struggling. And a number of factors come into play there. We believe, obviously, the most important thing is to make sure that we're supporting our teachers the way we need to, because they're the ones that really do the yeoman's work in education. We all know that. One of the big issues, it's a national one as well, is getting kids to come to school. If we look at the rate of children being absent from school in some of our schools, it's staggering. And that Like I say, you know, I've said to our staff that it doesn't really matter how good the teacher is, how good the principal is, or how well we've written a curriculum. If the child is not there, that's a significant problem. And so going forward, we're really going to, we have a Be There campaign. United Way has supported us with that. We really are going to have to double down on chronic absenteeism. And I don't believe the solution is to take parents to court. There are lots of reasons kids are absent, and fortunately, you have to do that on a case-by-case basis. You have to talk to that family, talk to that child, what's going on. It may be I need an alarm clock. It may be that my transportation is not, I've moved and I'm not getting my transportation yet. You don't know. But the thing that we're going to have to, as I do, is really focus in on our children that just aren't coming to school. So that's definitely a factor.
If I may, if I may just jump in for 1 second. You mentioned that there are a number of factors involved in why kids are not coming to school, but I'm guessing you have some sense. Did you have a feel for what is going on out there, whether it's family issues or school isn't cool for some kids, or this would seem to be the worst time in the history of our country to not want to be in school, if for no other reason than the jobs aren't exactly falling off the trees.
I agree. It is the worst time in our history to not be educated. And I know Mark Roosevelt always talked about how cruel this economy is to people without an education. But of the things you mentioned, I'd say all of the above. And it's variable by family. Some of our children are homeless. Some of our children are actually really the ones that are raising the kids in, you know, high school students raising elementary students. They're the ones that get their brothers and sisters up. They're the ones that get them dressed. They're the ones that get them to the bus stop. And then if they miss their bus or miss their transportation, they're not there. So that that is a challenge. So some of our families just flat out need more support. When mom or dad is working shift work, where you're not working a day like we work, where we're working, get up in the morning and, you know, come home in the afternoon. If I'm working all night, you know, it's much more difficult to make for me to make sure my kids are going to get to school and get to school on time. So there are families that need our support. But again, we have to go back, talk to the family, talk to the child, find out what's going on. The school is not cool thing can be there, too. And so we want to make school as engaging as we can.
How do you do that?
Well, for one thing, one of the things that I remember, and it's a quote from a book, and I can't even think of the name of the book right now, but it stuck with me, nothing engages the mind like surprise. Nothing engages the mind like surprise. And that is so true. When you do something kids didn't expect, then they're like, what? You know, and you get their attention. But if when they come to school, it's same old every day, sit and do this paper, read this chapter, answer these questions. It's not engaging. It is not engaging. I remember as a teacher, one lesson a teacher and I did together, we carried to the third floor of the school our 2 10-speed bikes and had kids do a comparison contrast lesson. How are they alike and how are they different? They were both bikes. They were both 10-speed. They were both white. So beyond that, they had to figure out by examination and observation and develop a chart of these are the ways these bikes are the same. These are the ways they're different. And that taught comparison contrast was an important concept. But better than here's the paper, you know. So there are ways. You know, there are ways.
Is that hands-on concept that the whole maker learning movement, is that something you're nodding?
Sounds like something you like. Yeah, that's something that I think can engage the disengaged. I saw a lesson at Wolseler School, one of our first STEAM schools, just this first day of school, I think, or second. It was early in the school year anyway. The teacher put me in a group with three other second graders. And so we're a team and had a problem to solve to save the gummy worm who had fallen in the Mon River, and how are we going to get him out? And we had a cup and paper clips to try to get the gummy worm out of the Mon so he wouldn't drown. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know the answer to this problem. How am I going to help these kids? And then I realized, no, it's not my job to help the kids. It's my job to have us work together. I was engaged. I went home that night. I explained to my husband about how interesting this was. We solved our problem. And I was engaged. They were engaged. There was not a peep going on in that room that wasn't on the work that children were being asked to do. They were totally absorbed. We all like to solve problems. You know, we all like to solve problems and don't have an obvious solution. Think of the fun of solving something rather than guessing what the teacher's thinking.
I want to go back to the school performance disparity issue. Mm-hmm. How concerned are you about a school like Westinghouse Academy? Test scores there did rise substantially in 2015, for example. But that school, the test scores at that school are still far below mm-hmm. average. Mm-hmm. What needs to be done to bring those scores up?
Well, typically in schools that are struggling, there is not just one thing. There are multiple things. But the main thing is to have a comprehensive plan as to what needs to happen and how you're going to do it. And that's one of the things that Westinghouse is one of our project management schools. And that's the reason, of course, are the things you stated. They need additional support from the central office. If a school is doing really, really well, yes, we want to be out there. We want to know what's going on. But our real emphasis and work has to be differentiated for schools like Westinghouse High School. First thing, of course, is professional learning for our teachers. Are we giving them the kind of learning that they need to really be able to teach kids with rigor, with the engagement we just spoke about, so they'll want to come to school? And so we have an obligation, as well as the staff, to do that. We have to make sure that schools like Westinghouse have additional resources, because they flat out need them. And that's a part of the plan for Westinghouse this year as well, additional social workers, counselors, to deal with some of the very issues we talked about kids getting to school and other family issues that may be making it harder for some of our kids to be successful. And the other piece that I think, again, back to the interesting lessons piece, is in conjunction with the City of Pittsburgh and the American Federation of Teacher Grant, we're going to have a new career and technical education program at Westinghouse on public safety. The city has generously donated a fire truck. And everybody loves a fire truck, right? So I can't help but believe that kids that are in a program like that, that first is connected to real work that grown-ups do. I'm not just sitting here doing something that the teacher made up to keep me busy today, which we don't want kids to. They're not going to engage around those kind of things. Can get children engaged. So then listening to what has happened at schools like Westinghouse that have really been able to turn it around? What can we learn from them? Are we missing anything here? And then the rest of it, you know, good plan, good execution, and flat out hard work. There is no shortcut. There is no magic bullet that you can put in there and say, oh, yes, now it's all fixed. The other thing I've learned, it takes time. I know I talked just earlier this week about one of our schools that really made some significant progress a few years back was King, and it took longer than I thought it would. It took longer than I thought it would because we put some supports in there and added extra resources and a plan, and in the first year, flat, nothing. Didn't see a thing. Second year, still nothing. It was year three before we began to see growth. I compared it earlier this week. It's winter gardening. It's planting bulbs and waiting, and you know, you're waiting, mm-hmm. waiting for them to come up rather than planting seeds.
It takes time.
Yeah, seeds pop right out of the ground. I wish it was that simple. It's hard. It's complex. It requires constant monitoring, support for the school. The staff at the school, you know, a dedicated staff that takes it as their mission is incredibly important, too. And so the teamwork, teachers working together to talk about how students are doing. And, well, wait a minute, he's doing really well in your class. How are you getting him to engage? And having those kinds of conversations and giving teachers time to do that, it goes on and on. The list goes on and on. However, I do know it takes planning. It takes strong execution. It takes work, and it takes time.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is the outgoing Pittsburgh Public Schools Superintendent, Linda Lane. The Pittsburgh Public Schools Board is expected to review claims that new Pittsburgh Superintendent Anthony Hamlet plagiarized a phrase in his resume and a statement to the press when his appointment was announced. The Post-Gazette and the Tribune Review have reported that Mr. Hamlet lifted language from a Washington Post editorial in a section of his resume titled Educational Philosophy, and that he also lied on his resume about how much he improved performance in prior schools in which he was employed. How concerned are you about this situation?
I've been asked about this situation more than once, as I'm sure you're aware, and my response has been and still is. I believe that's a matter for the board to handle. That's their role, not mine. Now I'm focused on getting the things done that I need to get done between now and this little short amount of time I have left, because there are some things that I wanted to make sure were in place before I leave. And it seemed like, I had time to do all that, but it's slipping away from me rapidly. So that's what my focus is on right now.
And I certainly understand that would be your focus at this time and that you would be reluctant to comment about something like this. But As someone who has come in and done what has generally been regarded as a good job and improved the schools here, obviously you would want, as an educator, to know that you're leaving things in good hands. And we seem to have a situation that's very unsettled right now. That has to be bothering you at least a little bit.
I'm not reluctant. I'm refusing to comment.
Okay. And I'll keep asking questions, and you can comment whether you want to or not. Did the school board do its due diligence in hiring Anthony Hamlet?
I think that's a community judgment.
Should the Pittsburgh Public Schools go forward with hiring him?
I think that's a board judgment.
Okay, very well. A few more questions in our exit interview. What would you say that you have learned in your years in Pittsburgh, particularly as the superintendent?
That would be a whole nother interview. I learn every single day. And I learn from kids. I learn from staff. I learn from the community. One, I've learned how important community support is and how wonderful that has been. I've learned that Pittsburghers work hard. I said that when I first came from Iowa, Iowans had a reputation for being hard workers, having a strong work ethic. And when I look at some of our staff at the Pittsburgh Public Schools, oh my goodness, I've never seen people that were so passionate, so committed, that would go so all out for kids. And that has been just an incredible experience to work with a cadre of people that are really, really going at it is with all they have. And because that's what it's going to take, everything we have. I've told the staff it's so important that I cannot evaluate you or direct you into the work you need to do. It has to come from your heart because you're going to, you have to be all in. You have to be all in. So that's incredibly important. I've learned it takes longer than I thought, and it's harder than I thought. When I started, if you would have asked me, where I thought we could get in this block of time, I would have said further. But it was more complicated. It was more nuanced. It was more, it was more, there were more barriers in place than I'd anticipated. But nevertheless, you soldier on.
All right, I'm going to end this with two fill-in-the-blank questions. When I walk out that door on June 30th, I will least miss blank about working as the superintendent of the Pittsburgh Public Schools.
Let's see. What will I miss the least? Oh, goodness. I won't say interviews, but...
Wait a minute. This been fun?
Oh, it's been absolutely fun. I honestly think, I was trying to think just a few weeks back, had I been to 1,000 board meetings in my career at this point, and I think that that's probably enough. That's probably enough board meetings. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the last question is, when I leave the Pittsburgh Public Schools, I'm really going to miss blank.
I'm going to miss the kids.
Well, I think a lot of us are going to miss you. Linda Lane, Pittsburgh Public Schools superintendent. Her last day is June 30th. She joined us in studio for an exit interview. Linda Lane, thank you for being so generous with your time, not only today, but in past interviews and appearances on the program. We really appreciate it.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.